Welcome one and all, once again, to Duel Wielding episode 82. Yes, we're finally back to numbered episodes. Joining me this week, we have Chad.
Hi.
Who's always so excitable. We have Martin.
I'm like a small puppy, really.
Hello.
Martin's coming to us
about my introduction.
Martin's coming to us in mono this week. We have James.
Greetings.
And we have Anthony.
In a move that made me feel completely emasculated, I pre-ordered Wii U from Toys R Us, of all places, yesterday.
Well,
been there in a while, still bright and colorful.
As I heard throughout this generation, the Wii U belongs in the toy stores. I mean, the Wii belongs in the toy stores, so it's totally fitting that the Wii U goes there as well. So yes, we are going to talk about the Wii U because Nintendo took it upon themselves to have like 50 conferences this week to say stuff and still somehow managed to leave out details. some important, some not so much, but some still really questionable. And I guess that's where we can kick off because there's a lot to digest in regards to that. So I guess we can start with the first conference they had, which was the Japanese press conference that they had in the middle of the morning, which kind of detailed the Japanese launch stuff, but also some of the hardware specs and all that fun jazz, which I was actually surprised they did. The system has 2 gigs of RAM. 1 gig is for just the operating system stuff, and then 1 gig is reserved for games.
Kind of crazy to have 1 gig just for the system.
Yeah, but it kind of makes sense. I mean, it depends, but it kind of makes sense with what they announced afterwards. I mean, if you combine like the Miiverse stuff, the Nintendo TV stuff, and all those little background stuff that the system seems to be doing while you're playing a game, it does seem like it's doing a lot.
This sounds excessive.
It does, and I'm kind of curious if it's one of those things. Nintendo tends to be conservative at times, so I wonder if like this reserving a gig of it to kind of future-proof themselves, but after a while, they probably be like, you know what, we don't need this much, so we'll open it up to the game for like, game development, kind of like they did with the 3DS.
Maybe.
At the same time, rumors, which we don't really talk about here, is that Microsoft is reserving half of their OS in the next Xbox for the... I mean, half of their RAM in the OS for the... half of the RAM for their OS. There we go. So, I mean, it seems like next-gen is going to be a very feature-focused console experience for all three.
You can't really go much higher with just, like, graphical capability.
Well, I mean, everybody says that, and then, you know, there is going to be a... I think we're going to get to the point where we'll get better-looking games, but it might not be things that is... it's not something that's going to affect the mass majority. I don't think we're expecting a PlayStation 2, Xbox, the PS3, Xbox 360 type of jump this generation, or from Super Nintendo to the N64 type of jump anytime soon.
You had a huge jump in 64. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even within this generation, you see the visuals jump like a lot smaller from like the beginning to sort of the end area. Because you look at like a launch PS2 game and then sort of a late game thing like God of War 2, there's a big difference. Whereas here you look, say, just Gears 1 and 3, it's a lot more subtle to it, so I think it's not going to stop going up, but it's definitely slowing down in advancement, so I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as it could be.
I'm right with all of you guys there, and that's why it needs to be feature-focused, because having just merely updated visuals, even though they will be updated and will be good, that's not going to be enough for anyone to get a new console, much less warrant something new, so they got to make something brand new with the operating system that turns it into more than just a system you play games on, and that's what this generation is all about, that bridge.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's a great bridge if you have the system, but is it something you buy a system for?
Well, yeah, I mean, you also obviously get the system to get the newest installments and, you know, trusted IPs or new IPs, but, it's just there's not much else to tap into on the current systems.
Well, on the current system, but I mean, next we've already seen stuff like Star Wars 1313 and Watch Dogs and, you know, stuff that's really impressive going into next gen. Again, it's not a quantum leap from this generation, but it is stuff that probably can't be done as well on this, you know, this current gen. Or people are expecting that not necessarily a quantum leap in quality, but more like 1080p and 60 frames per second becoming a standard. And I know you're a huge fan of frame rate.
Yeah, I am. I'll give you that. But, I mean, you also look at the fact that, you know, there's just oversaturation. Console sales are slowing, so console developers are going to want to make something new.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good point. But this is something we'll get to with the Wii U in a second. But it's also not necessarily a cure if you're still kind of being priced too high. Because, I mean, even at the start of this generation, the 360 and the PS3 didn't have the best adaptation rates. So, if you come back with a new set of systems that are $400 or $500, is that going to help this market that's kind of slowing down rapidly right now? And the Wii U's kind of in that same boat because it's $100 more expensive than the. So yeah, I mean, I think entertainment and non-gaming applications. I think next gen will be an increase in power. Of course, it will be. But I feel like everybody's going to have their priorities elsewhere. I think Microsoft is going to use the evolution of Xbox Live and the evolution of Kinect as their selling point, and not necessarily the fact that they have 65 gigs of RAM or something like that. And Sony is going to continue pursuing everything Sony pursues.
Do we have any idea as to when they are going to release any new information on their consoles, or do you think that'll wait until E3?
Well, go on. Okay.
I would guess maybe Sony might show something off at TGS. If not, I don't think we'll see anything big until E3. But, it's only a matter of time because every developer has talked about seeing these new consoles except for Microsoft and Sony, so they're just sort of waiting until the right time.
It's just interesting that they aren't going to do anything to try and counter the hype around Wii right now. Because Nintendo's doing their whole, hey, it's completely sold out already, this is going to be a big hit because of how many they shipped out. Word gets out that Wii U is sold out already. And
I feel like if they were going to announce it at TGS, we would have already heard that they were going to announce it at TGS, though, given that it's Sony.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do they even have a press conference at TGS?
Not usually.
Sony usually does, but I don't think any... I don't know. Like, TGS is this week, and it's really, really quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, like the last 3 years of TGS?
But last year's TGS was the Vita, y'all, because that was right before launch. And then Nintendo had that dick waving contest the day before where they're like, we're just going to steal your hype by announcing two Monster Hunter games. But yeah, I think, I've heard rumors of this, and I don't really know how true it is, but I heard that there is some, you know, there's some word that Microsoft may show off the Xbox at the VGAs. Which kind of makes sense if you think about the fact that the 360 was debuted on MTV.
They announced Halo 4 at the VGA Awards. Not Halo 4, Halo Reach. They showed that first little snippet of trailer and gameplay at VGA, didn't they?
But that was all the case because they didn't make E3 with Reach.
They showed off Reach at... They announced Reach at E3.
You sure?
Yeah, they announced it the same time as ODST.
Yeah.
Which is at E3.
Yeah, like they're showing up ODST footage and then the Reach trailer.
Yeah, they didn't, like they announced it, they didn't show like a, they didn't show, but they announced that Halo Reach is coming. Because everybody kind of assumed that ODST was a side story, it wasn't anything major. But they also announced Reach at the same time. But games do get announced, I mean, like Uncharted 3 was announced at the VGAs. You know, Insane was announced at the VGAs. Games get announced at the VGAs, but I think, you know, if the next Xbox was the showcaser at the VGAs, you go in, I mean, one, you kind of get that hype going. You know, it's after the holiday shopping season, so you don't have to worry about missing out sales on Black Friday, but you kind of get that momentum and that hype going into the new year, and then you can kind of show stuff at CES or something like that, and you continue that up until E3 when you do, like, the full console reveal with the games and stuff. Because I'm kind of curious, I don't see Microsoft or Sony taking a 4 or 5 month hype cycle for their next console.
No, probably not. But then again, I totally expect them to reveal basically everything next E3. The only thing I can see is, but I don't think Microsoft really needs it this time around. The last time they had, I think a week or something, or a few days before E3, they had this MTV thing. But I think they basically only did that because the original Xbox wasn't that successful, and they basically wanted to get ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, I get that, but I still think they're going to do it. I mean, if even Kinect was kind of a huge deal. They streamed that in Times Square. They had that huge circus thing the night before E3.
Sure.
I think Microsoft doesn't want to do the traditional, this is a video game console, we're announcing at E3, people get excited. Microsoft wants the attention to themselves. Everybody does. I mean, this is why Nintendo announced more details this week than they have at two prior E3s for the Wii U.
Which is sad.
It is, but at the same time, who has dominated the news cycle for the last 5 days?
That's true.
You're seeing that as a trend that's happening completely in games now, that all the big announcements for the big companies are coming not during E3, but after it, or sometime around it.
Yeah, you'll still get major announcements, but if you take a look at Sony, most of their announcements were made before E3. And then even the Vita stuff was saved for GamesCon. Nintendo had E3, and then 2 weeks later, they announced all the good stuff for the 3DS. And then 2 months later, they announced all the Wii U stuff. Microsoft didn't have anything to announce except for SmartCast. And I assume that's going to be more of a focus at CES when they have more stuff to show off with it. Actually, that should be shown off soon, because it works with Halo 4, right?
Well, that was the prototype. I'm not sure if it will actually make it into the game.
Oh, I was looking forward to it. I need to know these things about certain areas of the Halo universe.
Sure.
But the state of E3 is another discussion for another day. We have really gotten off topic of the actual Wii U stuff, which is actually a good point, because I think Nintendo is in a tough spot with that. Because you see a lot of people respond, like, we're just going to wait until the Xbox next or the PlayStation 4 is announced. And they haven't... Which is understandable to a degree, and the fact that it's, you know, it's nice to know...
The people that are saying we're going to wait aren't the Nintendo demographic. They're the people that had a PS3 and or an Xbox and nothing else, and it wasn't...
Yeah, but that's kind of the point, and that was kind of Nintendo's thing this week, is, you know, they're trying to reach out to that audience again, they're trying to extend them an olive branch, and the fact is, they're in a tough spot, because, as we'll see, I guess we can start talking about the launch lineup, as you see with a lot of the launch lineup, and I agree with this to an extent, is that a lot of it is current-gen ports, and it's like, why do I need to invest $300, $350 in a system to play Mass Effect 3, to play Assassin's Creed, to play Batman, to play Call of Duty Black Ops 2, when I can do this on the 360 or the PS3 already?
To play Monster Hunter.
We'll get to that in a second.
It will sell everything in Japan.
And that's going to be it's going to be a very interesting generation in that regard as well. But jumping ahead of the story.
Yes, Nintendo's trying to get back those gamers. Are they necessarily trying to steal away the dedicated PS3 and Xbox users? I wouldn't say that.
Nintendo
has a focus completely on, you know, basic fun, like family fun. That's why Nintendo Land is the pack-in, and Bayonetta 2 isn't. They still have the idea for family fun and local, you know, multiplayer, and that's what their whole Miiverse thing is about. but they're also catering to the people that want that extra stuff, that want Batman, that want Assassin's Creed.
And they are doing that, but like I said, they're in that tough spot where they're getting... any other system, I think, that would have gotten these ports, it's not a big deal, but I think the thing is that Nintendo's core lineup, their first-party titles, doesn't appeal to that group, so it's kind of like, oh yeah, I'm interested in these games, but since I'm interested in these games, I already have systems that can play it. And that's going to be a problem throughout this year. And then the next problem is, like, once that's overcome, once those systems are faded out, people are on the other end now, like, why do I want a Wii U when it probably won't get all the versions of the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox 8 or whatever they want to call it this week titles? And that's an image that they need to overcome. And they made some great strides in that regard this week, and now we can talk about Monster Hunter Tri Ultimate, because they locked up a Western Monster Hunter HD game online, and it's out within the launch window. It's out in March, I believe.
And I think it's launched in Japan, I believe.
Japan. So they announced that, and one, it pretty much shows up that Nintendo will pretty much dominate Japan for the foreseeable future. If you had to pick a launch lineup for Japan, launch it with a Dragon Quest X beta, Monster Hunter Tri, and a 2D Mario game would have been my three cards. If they can get a Pokemon game there at the same time, they would have been set. And it's not like, unlike the West, there are no viable home consoles in Japan right now. It's the 3DS or it's nothing.
Basically. Or the PSP.
Or the PSP. but yeah, that's it. There's no viable home consoles, but Nintendo's coming out, and they're throwing out all their big guns in Japan. And unlike America, even though Monster Hunter is an up port and Dragon Quest X already exists on the Wii, it's not really competing with the 360 and the PS3 in that regard, so that should be fine. In the West, they're trying some... If you look at it on paper, they're trying the same thing in the West. I mean, if you were to pick a on China from this generation, Assassin's Creed 3, Black Ops 2, a 2D Mario game are probably three of the games you would pick as far as sales go this generation. But because two of those are...
Yeah, it's true that they do have that, especially considering they're ones that will, I think by the time the Wii comes out, will only have been out a week or two. But unfortunately, as you said, they're already on the other consoles at that point. So there are more things that'll entice on top of it to those who would already want it for other things. They're not the kind of things that'll sell the system until they can show off something with the tablet controller that you can't do on the other consoles.
And that's the big thing. It's like... A lot of these ports, the tablet controller isn't being used in a way that kind of enhances the game, or something that I would say would be a feature seller. Like Batman, we already know, it's kind of stupid. It's just using it as a way to control your Batarang. I think Mass Effect's using it in an interesting way, but Mass Effect is the end of a trilogy that's very story-focused, and you're getting one out of three games. That's like watching The Empire Strikes Back as your Star Wars film.
But you get to see all the other games in motion comic form. Isn't that amazing?
From what I understand from the PlayStation 3 owners, is that the motion comic for the first game wasn't even that... Like, it missed out on a lot of key points.
Yep, it did.
So I can't imagine trying to...
Basically, the Wikipedia page of Mass Effect.
So I can't imagine them doing that with two games and then missing a lot of key decisions from that. I mean, on the bright side...
I can already imagine this motion comic. I think the one in Mass Effect 2 was like 15, 20 minutes long or something like that. So basically, before you get to play your new game, you have to watch, like, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes of motion comics before you actually get to play.
We call this Metal Gear Solid 4.
Don't go there.
The difference is that's something you expect when you get into Metal Gear Solid 4, and like that's something that fans of the series are kind of looking for, to be honest.
It wasn't what I was looking for. It turned me off to the game big time right away. But that's the
Why
point.
Why do you say fans of the series?
Yeah, fair enough. That's a huge hurdle, especially if it's a new system that's launched today. You want to sit down, you want to start up your game, you're going to sit there for 45 minutes watching a comic that doesn't necessarily cover all the decisions that you made in the first two games. And honestly, from what I hear, it doesn't really make a major difference in Mass Effect 3's ending, so there's that. I think Call of Duty's using it in a nice way, but I don't honestly see how that's a... I don't think people buy Call of Duty for the couch co-op. But the
probably
idea,
not.
But the idea of having, like, you know, being able to, again, this is kind of unfair to somebody, but being able to get somebody to TV while somebody else uses the tablet so nobody can screen watch is a novel idea that I'd like to see pushed
okay,
forward.
Okay, I've heard about that. What's stopping the player at the tablet from just looking up at the TV?
Nothing.
The non-existent honor system.
Well, I mean, it could also be that your friend sees you looking at the TV because you have no business looking at the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could cheat and just say, like, you're going to another room, because it did come out that the ideal range is within 24 feet. So that should be fairly decent for most cases. What else did they have out at launch? Assassin's Creed, I don't know.
Can I say something about Monster Hunter?
Yeah.
I think I was pretty excited when they announced it, but at the same time, it's still kind of lame because it's still just a port of another system, and not real HD Monster Hunter. So, kind of lame still. It really shows that Capcom is committed to being lazy and not developing any new assets.
Well, the best way I heard it was it's a port of a downport of a downport. Because it's a port of the Wii game that was ported to the PSP that was ported to the...
No. The PSP has nothing to do with it.
Okay, so it's the Wii game that's ported to the 3DS.
Yep.
And the 3DS game is being ported to the Wii U.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
That's not convoluted at all.
It would have been easier at that point to just port the Wii version with additional content.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, part of it is Capcom. It's not an HD game. It's basically an HD. It's like an HD re-release or an HD reaction. But part of it, I mean, I guess Capcom.
At least it has online. That's something.
Yeah, I think Capcom and Nintendo are just like we. I think it's the same thing where, you know, 3G for the 3DS is a port of the Wii game. It's just a Capcom. We'll get something out, and then I assume they'll probably be working on that game Monster Hunter 4 Wii U as well. That will probably be in true HD.
I would hope so.
Because, I mean, at this point, it seems, at least for the foreseeable future, that Nintendo, Capcom, and Monster Hunter are going to be really good friends.
Yeah. And they know, if they want to do anything with Monster Hunter in the West, it needs online.
Yeah, and, I mean, based on the sales of Monster Hunter Wii, Nintendo really did help them kind of bring the brand forward in the West. I mean, granted, it's not Call of Duty, but it did decently for a Monster Hunter game, so this can only help... Except, we have no idea how Nintendo's online system works.
Nope.
Yep.
And that was one of the glaring omissions of this entire thing, is that I thought that would have been the first thing they focused on. But there was nothing
like,
there.
Of course they're going to focus on price and launch date first.
Well, I mean, we knew price and launch were coming, so that was expected. But I assume that after that they would be like online, because going into this gen, or coming out of the Wii, I think the HD was a concern, they remedied that, and I think online was the second biggest concern people had with Nintendo, because the DS wasn't that great, the Wii didn't improve on it much, the 3DS made steps forwards, but was still far behind the current standard, and then the Wii U was, we still don't know what to expect, and I figured that that would be one of the things they wanted to kind of get out of the way. They started off well at E3 when they did the Miiverse stuff, and I'm like, okay, this is a good start. And that's it.
do we even know if there will be friend codes? We don't know, right?
We do know there's friend codes.
This? Oh,
wait, what?
Friend.
Fuck
there's,
off.
Great.
I
bet the whole online store will again be console-based and not account-based.
Well, that's the other thing. They have accounts. There's 12 accounts per system.
All right.
So, I mean, it's like the system that's... It seems like it's going to be a combination of friend codes and accounts, where I assume it's probably like you get a random number, but you can still put a username to it.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like what you do with Steam, where you have a user pro... You have a user's number, but most of the time you associate with your Steam ID.
I bet that's not going to be confusing.
I assume it's going to be, like, you can't add somebody who isn't a friend of yours, because you'll probably see their friend code. But if say it's you and I, you can exchange Xantara, or however you pronounce your name, and I can do
I'm
mine.
I'm pretty sure there's no N anywhere in there.
Whatever! This isn't about being technically correct on how you pronounce his name, okay? But but this is why I am still kind of on the fence about the system. I don't care if they have a phenomenal online system. I don't care if it's like the Wii or if it's not like the Wii. But I want to know what I'm actually buying into ahead of time. I don't want to go in expecting like Xbox Live Super Gold and kind of end up with Wii minus.
Boy, I want Xbox Live Super Gold. That sounds awesome.
So you're going to cost you $150 a year.
Shit.
But yeah, you don't know if it's an advancement of what we currently have or if it's just a continuation of what they did before. And that's one of the things. Like I said, it's not a deal breaker to me either way, as long as I know what I'm getting into ahead of time.
Mm. Yeah. But I'm sure shortly before release we'll still... get some more info, I guess. People will get hands-on with the thing. And
well, I mean, and they still have the Nintendo Directs. At this point, it's every 2 months, so we can kind of expect one near the end of October going over this stuff. But it's something, especially being that if you want to sell Call of Duty, if you want to sell Monster Hunter, if you want to sell Assassin's Creed, if you want to sell these games as being comparable to their current-gen counterparts, online is a key function of that. And to kind of just ignore it this entire time just seems so backwards. The other mission that really has baffled me is the fact that they didn't comment on the launch date releases. They gave us a window of 4.5 months.
I hate this trend in this industry to give us launch window releases. And the launch window seems to be get bigger and bigger from one console to the next.
Like this,
I disagree with them having such a large launch window, but I still think that launch window is still important because you don't want all of your support to come out on one day because the cash-strapped consumer will not be able to get all of it. And if they see a bunch of titles they like in the launch window, they can space out their purchases and know that the console has some lasting support.
I don't mind launch window. I don't mind them focusing on launch window. That's fine. As you said, it's nice to know what's coming out in the first 3 months of next year. The problem is, I want to know what's coming out day one as well.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, yes, we know Nintendo N is coming out. It's packed in with the system. We know New Super Mario Bros. U is coming out. We know third parties have kind of given an idea. Assassin's Creed, I think, is there. Darksiders is there. Disney's Epic Mickey 2 is there. FIFA and Madden's there. I think Zombie U is there. But it would have been nice if Nintendo could have said, okay, here's the 10 or 15 games you're getting at launch. This is out in December, and then these three are next, this is the next 3 months after that. The launch window is very important because we've seen that with the 3DS and the Vita, where it's like, oh, great, we have like 10 games at launch, nothing for 3 months. You kind of want to know what's coming down the pipe, but they needed to cement a lineup for that November 18th date. Which reminds me, I think we all pretty much call it that ass week.
Yeah.
At least, yeah, I definitely did.
Yeah, for the U.S. I mean, Europe was actually sooner than I thought. I thought it would be December, but it's actually kind of weird that Japan's getting assed.
It's not that weird.
Same thing happened with the Wii, didn't it?
No, yeah, Japan got it before Europe, didn't it?
No.
I mean, granted, it was like 2 days, but I thought Japan got it before Europe.
Yeah, maybe. I would have to check, but I'm too lazy.
Yeah, it's not important in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, I guess since we're talking about launch and stuff like that, we might as well. We haven't actually touched on the price yet, which is $300 for the basic model and $350 for the premium model.
Holy shit! Get ready to sell your kidneys, guys.
Get
apparently.
Two jobs.
If you listen to the internet, it's the most expensive thing that's ever been released in the history of the internet.
It isn't, but I think for what you're getting, it is kind of expensive.
I and this is hard to say. I think it depends on who you are. Because I think from a normal consumer standpoint, they don't care. Because a lot of people saying it's too expensive because of what's under the hood.
That's only half of my point. I mean,
getting that it launches with a tablet.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, the premium model only coming with 32 gigs of internal storage, that's not a lot.
Ridiculous.
Well,
it's absolute madness. Yes.
Well,
I agree.
Okay, it is and it isn't. Okay,
it's expandable.
Yeah, I appreciate
yeah,
those
but a hard drive these days is really not that expensive for, especially not for someone like Nintendo to put in there.
Well, I prefer their way where, and yes, it's kind of, you know, it's Nintendo, so I'm, but I prefer it in the sense that I can, if I want a terabyte at launch, I can get one for as much as I want. If I just want a couple of extra gigs, I can get it for as much or as pseudo as I want. Because, and I understand your point. 32 isn't a lot. 8 isn't a lot.
You can buy a 64 gigabyte hard drive for like 30 cents.
Yeah.
There's no reason why they can't put something a little beefier in
instead
there.
Exaggeration aside, we know that Nintendo is selling. They started selling the 3DS 4 loss when they cut their price. They're not going to do the same. They're not going to start selling two systems for a loss. They're not going to sell their handheld and their console system for a loss.
They would not have to sell it on a loss if they just use a normal hard drive instead of flash memory.
I think the other thing is, and this is probably that they wanted to keep the system down. I don't really know why, but they have that thing with it. They have the small physical size of the Wii. Because this is pretty much the same size as the Wii, but longer.
Yeah. That's what I was also going to say. Just make the thing a few centimeters bigger, put a normal hard drive in it, bam, no problem.
I get your point, and I just owning a 360 and knowing how much Microsoft charged for like, their proprietary hard drives and stuff like that, I just feel like this is so much easier, more convenient for me.
Then
I think sacrificing function for aesthetics is ridiculous.
Yeah,
but
uses normal hard drives, Earl.
Yeah, but
it's not,
not
a big deal.
It's not
put
the hardest
standard hard drive in there.
And computers, this is you know, Nintendo's sometimes an odd, but I think this is more focused on the Japanese market where size is an issue.
Is Sony's memory expandable on their PS3?
Of course
it is.
Yeah.
You can just use a laptop hard drive. It's not the easiest thing for a face at times, but yeah, you can just...
That's not hard.
It's not, yeah, but it's not like you just pop open the case and throw it in. You have to get like a special screwdriver and stuff, don't you?
It was that case on the big PS3. I put on a small one because that has a 320 gig hard drive.
Yeah, well, part of it is because every game has a mandatory install. That eats up space quickly.
Yeah.
Well, but
if you plan to download a lot of titles for a Wii U console, you better get ready to buy an external hard drive.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is that their whole, are they still planning to have all games released digitally day and date?
Yep.
Yeah, they didn't say that. They didn't say for America and the States, I mean America and Europe, but they did announce that day one Nintendo and a new Super Mario Bros. U would be downloadable titles.
Yeah, that's the thing that makes the hard drive space seem a little small for me, because otherwise, like, I don't admittedly play my 360 as much as my PC, so my hard drive isn't a big problem, but if you're having full games digitally, like, day and day, it seems more baffling than anything else that they don't have a larger hard drive.
Yeah, I think it's just that...
Okay. So you can buy a 160-gigabyte hard drive off Newegg for $50.
Yeah.
Getting, like, the significant break they'd get for ordering millions of them at the same time, that's got to cost, like, nothing to produce.
Well,
and
that's,
what, six times the space?
I'm not saying that it doesn't, that they shouldn't have included more space, but it's not, to me, the major difference between the basic and the premium is the game. You get Nintendo Land, so you're basically getting a game for $50 or $10 off or whatever.
What if digital?
And that's actually, I think that's a great idea as well. The Nintendo Network Premium, which is another reason why people should never just try to translate Japanese if they don't know it, because people were like, "Oh, we're not paying for Nintendo Online. We're not." Like, people said it was like Xbox Live Gold, and then people said it was like PSN Plus. It doesn't actually work like either one of those. It's basically just a it's just a rebate system, basically. For every digital purchase you make on the system, you get 10% back. And after you reach a certain threshold, you can use those points to buy something on their eShop. Which I think is a great deal. For 2 years, you get it for free, and you get 10% back.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool idea. I have no problem with that part.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of negates itself, because I was having this discussion with my friend. It's basically the discount you probably... it's probably the money they wouldn't have made if they sold it at retail, because retailers get a part of the cut. So it's just them not getting that cut anyhow. So, there's that. I mean, we shall see. The hard drive space is not really a big deal for me. I've bought a second hard drive for my 360. I've upgraded my PS3 to get more space. Nobody had any issues with that. what else did they talk about this week? Oh, yeah, the big one, because everybody apparently had a negative reaction to this, is that Nintendo has secured Bayonetta 2.
Woohoo!
Wii U title.
How cruel.
Because guess what? Terrible. The other next-gen systems haven't been announced yet, so it's the only one that they're making it for. Guaranteed, when those come out, it gets ported.
I would say this is the only reason, Nintendo is the only reason we are getting Bayonetta 2, probably.
Nintendo's the publisher.
Nintendo's the publisher.
I feel like I heard a rumor that Sega had quietly decided not canceled to publish a potential sequel.
The game was canceled at the start of this year at some point. Nintendo was apparently shopping around for IPs, and Bayonetta was on the table, so they decided to publish it. And
that's a gutsy maneuver. I'm way more impressed with Nintendo than I was 30 seconds ago.
Apparently, you are in the minority, because a lot of people were upset with this decision.
I just want Bayonetta 2. I don't care where it comes out, as long as I get it.
You see, that's the thing. You would think that if you're a huge fan of Bayonetta, if you love Bayonetta, that you'd be happy that there's a sequel. But a lot of people were venomous about this, and a lot of people... There was a lot of discussions and death threats and overreactions to this whole ordeal. To the extent that I thought Bayonetta was a much bigger franchise than apparently it is, because Bayonetta sold roughly about 1 million units between two systems 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago at this point. And somehow it's like this internet darling that was beloved by billions, and Nintendo has no rights to own it from their rightful owners, and how they hate Platinum games. Some people are never going to buy a Platinum game again. Kamiya,
can we stop citing idiots? So,
like people are blowing things out of proportion on the internet. Fuck off! You're kidding, right?
Here's the thing, and I agree that happens. I think it's a terrible defense, because I've had this used against me. Like, people are like, "This is the internet. You should." I'm like, just because you're acting like an idiot doesn't mean I should excuse it because it's the internet. You should be rational.
You should expect it to a degree, though.
You should expect it. That doesn't mean... Like, if somebody gets really drunk and makes a fool of themselves, and you tell them, you know what, probably you should cut back on the drinking, that doesn't mean that you should be happy every time they get drunk and make a fool of themselves and not try to stop them from doing it.
Really? My friends are all assholes, then.
But yeah, it's kind of the point where you can't... It's like if you're disciplining a kid. You don't want to say, like, okay, I know you're acting up, it happens, whatever. You want to say, like, this is bad, stop doing it. Granted, it probably won't change, but it's better than, like, you know what, this is expected of me, this is how I'm going to behave, because nobody's going to call me up.
So Platinum Games is our alcoholic friend?
Platinum Games is our friend who is down on their luck, and they went to your ex-girlfriend for some help, and she gave them money, and you know that that chick's an evil, evil woman, and she's going to hold it over your head. And that's Nintendo. because a lot of people were burnt between the Nintendo 64, the GameCube, and the Wii. And they have a very... huge dislike for Nintendo as a corporation and as a video game hardware provider, and they don't want that game on a Nintendo system because that's not the type of game they expect from Nintendo on a Nintendo system. I'm really just trying to say this as nicely as possible. but this is exactly the type of reason why Bayonetta makes sense for Nintendo. It's not a type of game you expect from Nintendo. It's not a type of game they publish, and it fills a void that they traditionally don't fill, especially being that they announced it before launch. They're also, you know, they're improving Ninja Gaiden 3, but from what I hear, no matter how much you polish that up, it's really not going to become a good game.
Yeah, what they are adding is not going to fix the main problem, which is the shitty gameplay, so...
But now you get more of it.
Yeah, basically. You get more of the game you didn't want to play the first time around. Awesome.
But yes, I mean, they are reaching out with stuff like that. They have Zombie U, they have Bayonetta, they have Ninja Gaiden's Razor's Edge. So they are trying to kind of cater to that group again, but at the same time, they're doing their Nintendo Land, they're doing the new Super Mario Bros. U, they're doing Sing, they're doing Just Dance 4, and... Right now, it seems like they're doing that, and I don't know if either group is really satisfied. Because, I mean, coming out of this press conference, the two things I got is that Nintendo isn't for hardcore gamers, and Nintendo has just the casual gamers. So, they're kind of in this very narrow Nintendo has Nintendo gamers point right now.
Yeah, I think that's sort of inevitable. What's going to happen at launch is that you're going to get that core Nintendo fan base.
Well,
then
I mean,
as they show off things to, like, their family, they'll be like, hey, check a Nintendo Land, and, you know, it'll be sort of like the Wii, but to a much smaller extent. As people see it and understand what the tablet can do, then you'll start drawing in more people.
Yeah, I think that's the point that people sometimes miss, and it's always been Nintendo's strong suit, is they focus more on the social aspect of hanging out with people, and it's kind of like... especially being that it's coming out Black Friday, you take your Wii U to your family for Thanksgiving, you play Nintendo, yeah, and people have fun with that. They're like, oh, how much is this system? Way too much. So wait for a price drop, but they kind of get that. And I can imagine if I was Nintendo, I'd be aiming to have like Wii Sports 3 next summer, just around the time that the next Xbox and the PlayStation is coming, because you can kind of start pulling back those people who made the Wii a success. While you focus on getting those early adopters, because the early adopters tend to be more quote-unquote hardcore gamers, technophiles, and stuff like that. People who just like the latest and greatest. Speaking of, really quick, Nintendo looks so much better than it did at E3. I think Metroid Vast, Mario Chase, and Pikmin Adventure are like great additions to the package. And they all seem to be fully featured. I don't want to say mini games, because they are like all games on their own. Micro games?
That's macro smaller games? Than mini?
No, macro games. Macro games. Macros are bigger than minis.
Whatever.
We won't get into it. But like Metroid Vast has, what, three different. It has Horde, it has Co-op, and it has Deathmatch. Well, wait. Yeah. It has something like, I think they said 15 to 16 levels, which is that's a multiplayer mode in most games. And that's one of 12 attractions, so. Is there anything else I'm missing? I'm sure there is, but meh.
We can talk about the surround sound thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, that's one of the few issues I have with the Wii U. You can basically only get surround sound through HDMI, because, well, that's the only output of the console, and it's only outputting it uncompressed, so you gotta have a receiver which supports uncompressed audio over HDMI, otherwise no surround sound for you, which would be the case for me, and I'm at this point kind of used to having it. But I'm not sure if I am able to buy also a new receiver once this thing is out. So that sucks.
Well, yes, that does suck. Well, you said that's one of the problems you have. What are the other ones?
The other ones? I think you already talked about them.
Oh, okay, online.
Yeah, online and hard drive space.
Okay. Okay, hard drives, you know, you folks point out how cheap it is. It's not, yeah, granted it adds to the bottom line, but you also can get that, like, Black Friday tends to be cheap for that type of stuff nowadays, but, what about,
I don't have Black Friday.
Yeah, also I'm lazy. I don't want to go buy a hard drive, I can just want in.
You don't have, like, a spare hard drive sitting around? I mean, I have four right here.
They're all full of shit.
then dump all item onto a bigger one and then use one of the spoiler ones. It's not porn, it's hente knowing him.
They're the same thing.
Well, one has cartoon characters, so they aren't the same thing to me. anyhow. Does anybody
fucking
else
hipster.
How does that even make sense?
I don't know. I'm just saying words at this point.
Does anybody else have any lingering problems with the Wii U?
It's got me cautiously optimistic about Nintendo in the upcoming years, which is more than the Wii U has managed to do during its entire run. Or the Wii has managed to do.
Yeah. I will say this, and I don't mind the Wii U name, but For all that is holy, Nintendo needs to drop the add in two eyes to the end of every word now. Nintendo TV drives me nuts. It's
offends me as an English major pretty aggressively.
That offends me as a speaker of the language.
It's just stupid to me. It's not like TV is even a very, it's a short word anyhow, and it's a shorthand.
They made it longer.
They didn't make it longer. The adding two eyes doesn't change it. It just adds two eyes. There's still Nintendo TV.
I think you're supposed to pronounce the two eyes.
TV?
TV?
They're marketing genius.
I get that they want, if that's the case, just call it TV, because it's Nintendo TV, which is another, adding this whole long word on top of it anyhow. You know, it's not Nintendo Mii's, it's not Nintendo Wii U, so it shouldn't be Nintendo TV. I don't know if I pronounced enough I's in that. And I think that's a nice feature. It's a nice interface, which I can't say for the Xbox dashboard anymore, which is my primary entertainment hub. But, I mean, it's
Does anyone else kind of miss the blades? Just a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't mind the I don't like the new dashboard. It's like made for Kinect, but if you don't have a Kinect, it's really just ugly.
It's dumb.
Oh, and advertisements.
Also, I don't like that games is not my main tab. Fuck that.
It's not even that the games isn't your top tab. It's like your fourth or fifth one. You have to go back to apps and TV and music.
Games isn't the focal point of your game console. Is this what you're telling me?
Yeah.
You turn on your system, you have a...
Fuck, I'm glad my Xbox broke. I don't have to deal with this shit.
Your home screen is five icons. The big middle one is a giant advertisement. Then it's whatever game's in your system. Then it's the quick play option, and it's two more ads on the side. And then it's like videos, apps, TV, because they have a movie and a TV app for some reason, or pages. And then it's like your games. And that's like way too far down for me. So.
And it's also really confusing. You go into games, and then there are mega games, and then there's the marketplace, and that is also has subcategories. Sometimes I get confused where I am.
Yeah, I do too. What's new on the marketplace? It's like I gotta find the games tab, and then it's not like you can just go games and it's like a game market. It's like you have to go to like games and you have to go to like game demos and it's like market. Like, it was so much easier on the NAS system. but this is besides the point. I mean, we can't really complain about it because we don't have any idea what the Nintendo OS looks like because they didn't show it.
Yeah.
Even if it takes up a gig of SRAM.
I really hope they have a shop that's worth looking at this time. I mean, they talked about how much they improved the shop for the 3DS, and that's still shit.
I don't mind a 3DS shop, and if I mean I don't mind it as far as looks go. I understand what you mean by it's very difficult to kind of navigate and find stuff.
You could probably still find a way to present that information better on this small screen. So
yeah, I think it would be easier. I mean, I hope it would be easier on the Wii U, just because you have the TV and you have the so you can probably do a lot more on the screen and do some information on the controller and stuff like that.
Hopefully.
So yeah, we know that Martin has his pre-ordered, but he's questioning it.
I have mine pre-ordered. I have the premium edition pre-ordered together with new Super Mario Bros. Wii.
You.
Yeah, whatever.
I know Anthony says he has his pre-ordered at Toys R Us.
Hell yeah.
Because apparently pre-orders are going fast, but as people like to point out, the PlayStation 3 pre-orders actually sold out in less than a day, and we saw how that turned out. Chad, do you have your... Are you buying... Well, you...
Any money I have is going towards a video card first, and then after that, I might consider it. If right now, the lineup isn't there, but if some more games come out that interest me, I might jump on it.
Huh. And James, what about you?
I'm holding off until there's like a really interesting exclusive, because I don't know why, but Mario Wii isn't really grabbing my interest at the moment. So I'm holding off for now.
I think I've explained this on the show before. 2D Mario games do not get me excited. They do not get me hyped. I end up loving them, but they aren't games. Like, New Super Mario Bros. U is one of those rare games where I think it's a system seller, but it's not a clear app. It's a game people will buy a system for, but it's not a game that people want. You know, like, you don't want a system for that, but you will buy a system for that, if that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Well, basically, it doesn't show off any... it doesn't show off why you need a Wii U. Like, there's no... There's really not much that it does that couldn't have been done on another system. But it's a game that people are going to buy, because 2D Mario games are huge games. But it acts that, like, this is why the Wii U exists. This is why you need a Wii U. Because, I mean, take out the whole, you can put docks on the screen, which isn't really a huge feature. And it's basically New Super Mario Bros. Wii in HD.
Yeah, it's something that I'll probably play and enjoy once I own one. But it's not something that, it's not the catalyst to say, oh, I need to go run out and grab this.
Yeah, exactly. I think for me, and I haven't pre-ordered one yet because I'm still kind of on the fence. Like, there's still too much up in the air that they haven't announced. But before I finish that statement, Anthony's departing, so goodbye to him.
See you next week.
Later. But yeah, it's like it has a lot of interesting games. There are tons of games that I think have potential. For me, like, my most anticipated games for the system right now are Lego City Undercover, The Wonderful 101, and I would imagine Zombie U.
Yeah, at this point, I'm also kind of excited for Zombie U. The new stuff looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I was excited for Rayman.
I only have it not on pre-order because I don't know about the censoring situation over here in Germany, so maybe I would have to import it.
Oh, I was going to say, why don't you pre-order the Zombie U bundle?
Yeah.
I don't see you as a Nintendo land type.
No, not really.
It all
depends on whether or not you're allowed to bring a flamethrower into Nintendo land with you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, there's a ton of interest in games. But like I said, again, I don't have a launch lineup. So I don't know when to expect these games other than within the first 5 months of the system. So if these games are all out in like February, I'll wait until February. Like, there's no reason for me to pick it up at launch right now. Especially being that if pre-orders are going this fast, I'm not one of those people, I hate the mad dash, I don't want to wait online at midnight. It's never been my thing. So, if I can wait until February, March, April of next year to get one, I will. I guess they come up with something and say, like, you know what, this is going to be the next huge advancement in gaming, which I doubt they're going to do in the next 2 months.
Probably not.
Probably not. I mean,
maybe. Probably ever.
Maybe they'll announce some revolutionary online functionality for the Wii U that none of us saw coming. But I doubt that's going to happen, so...
I'm not going to hold my breath for that.
No, I'm not, and this is why I'm, you know, I'm excited for the system. It has a ton of games I'm interested in. It has a ton of potential. As of right now, as far as third-party support goes, it's starting off on a much higher egg than the Wii started off on. But it's just, it doesn't...
How many of those are just ports?
But people say that, but what system isn't full of ports at the start of the generation?
Sure, I guess.
Yeah.
I think...
Original Nintendo was not. Neither was the Super Nintendo, nor was the Genesis. Bam. Suck it.
Actually, the Genesis was full of, like, Master System ports.
Shut up. They were the same...
because, like, Sonic the Hedgehog is a Master System game.
Completely different on the Master System.
No, but, it was primarily a Genesis game.
But it was on the Master System as well.
I think it was ported to the Master System. Master System 1 was more like an afterthought.
I mean, yeah, it was an afterthought, but, I mean, and that's kind of what we're accustomed to, is that, like, we're accustomed to the end of the generation usually being when everything's kind of, like, you know, like, we're moving on, and the difference is that even though Nintendo was the number one console this generation, they weren't the number one in terms of support, so a lot of these games are already stuff that can be played on the more, I guess, active consoles right now. Where, like, with the 360, you kind of had the same thing, because, I mean, the 360 didn't set the world on fire until, like, 2010, but...
No, it just set its fucking self on fire.
Touché. But a lot of its launch lineup was just HD versions of PlayStation 2 games, which was, we already had these games on PlayStation 2, and the 360's launch lineup wasn't that great as far as excuses went. I mean, Perfect Dark Serial, Cameo, Condemned...
you didn't like Perfect Dark Zero. Amazing game!
Because it was also during that learning curve where everybody had achievements, because I think Perfect Dark had like 100 achievements worth like 5 points each. And the PlayStation 3, the thing I said about that launch lineup, the better. Because do you remember any game that launched at the PlayStation 3?
Yeah.
Resistance. I figured you were going to say Resistance, and that's it.
It was slightly better than the 360 launch, and that had a exclusive of interest.
I can think of a second game.
And before you say, because I have an idea of which one you're going to say, is it a game that was worth buying the system for?
It was Sonic 06, wasn't it?
No, I think he was going to say either Genji or... Because that has giant enemy crabs.
I was actually going to say Motor Storm.
Oh, okay. I thought the other one you were going to say is Ridge Racer.
Yeah, that's weird. Is there a Ridge Racer confirmed for Wii U launch? Because
There's no Ridge Racer.
That's crazy. You have to have a Ridge Racer at launch.
I think in the last 2 years or something, Namco was too busy killing their own Ridge Racer franchise.
Which is impressive, because it wasn't... Ridge Racer is a franchise that you put at launch because nobody else will buy it any other time of the year. That's what happened with it.
But even at launch, people didn't buy that game because it was really lackluster.
Yeah, I think people kind of caught on to the fact that they were just getting subpar products at launch. Ubisoft is also guilty of this, so...
Yeah.
Ubisoft is just smart enough to put different names on top of it. Yeah. I remember when Square did the bouncer for the PlayStation 2.
Oh, God. Wasn't that like a million seller or something?
That's the beauty of launch. You get a ton of crappy games that sell well because you don't have any other options. Again, it's Bread Stills a million seller as well. So is King Kong with the original Xbox, on the 360.
Well, that game at least had its moments.
That moment in the fact that you beat the games and you got 1,000 achievement points.
Yeah.
comparatively, the only system this generation that has a better launch lineup than the Wii U was the Wii. And that was only because Zelda was a port of the GameCube game, which
and
Nintendo...
And an inferior port.
That's debatable.
It's not.
I'll have that debate.
Well, one's got bow pointer controls, one's got an actual camera. Take your pick.
I didn't mind Triumph Princess motion controls, but the fact that they had to screw over GameCube owners by delaying this game for over a year so they can make a launch. So there you go. They could have done the same thing with Skyward Sword, but at that point we had no game, so. So yeah, I mean, it's a decent lineup on paper. It's full of a this gen port, and I realize we've had this discussion on the show before. I think having this gen port isn't a necessary system seller, but it is something that equalizes the lineup where people can no longer say that Nintendo doesn't cater to this type of gamer because they don't have this type of game. They have it now. The excuse is I already have this game on another system, which I find a lot more legit than just saying I don't like this system. I think that's it for our Wii U coverage this week. If there's anything else we didn't touch on in this hour. Okay, then we have like three really quick notes to pass through. It's been a really quiet week other than that. The first, and I think the one that me and Martin cried about the most this week, is that Insomniac Games Overstrike is now Fuse. And yeah. With that name change came a very generic art style change.
Yep.
It went from looking like a Pixar short, a Pixar movie, I should say, to looking like pretty much any other third-person shooter on the market.
Pretty much. And it's really disappointing.
It is extremely disappointing.
And the gameplay I saw from game trailers and the new trailer, graphics aside, the game didn't even seem to have much character left, either.
No, it didn't. And one of the things is I rewatched the E3 2011 trailer, and one of the things is that it's like with the style change, they also kind of made it more, I don't want to say mature, but they made it more standard. Like,
I can tell you what Jay Stevenson said.
They wanted to
make it more grounded in reality.
Which is not what I want for my video game.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I told him.
Because one of the things is like one of the weapons in the E3 trailer shot. It was just like a stun thing. Now it's like it shoots it and it kind of explodes out on you. The shield is also the other colors. It's a lot more browns and dark and stuff like that.
Even the robot design is kind of more generic.
Yeah.
And not as interesting as before.
So there's robots, but they want to make it super realistic. Right, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
More grounded, you see?
That makes total sense. Not only is it grounded with robots, but you still have special powers.
Yeah.
So... one person can put like a shield, and the shield can exploit, and then you can shoot those bullets back at the people.
Chad, it can even more blow your mind. They also, someone, I think it was Ted, who said, we had this cartoony art style, and at some point we thought it didn't really work with all the blood and gyps in the game.
Yeah, you know what? Because Borderlands was terrible, and it had that, so I can understand their thinking.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, because people are using Borderlands as... And Borderlands did the opposite. Borderlands went from a generic art style to something like this, and that's why people gravitated to... I wouldn't have played the original Borderlands.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have either.
Yeah, and then you got that other rather, moderately important little Team Fortress 2 game. Totally, of course, crazy art, cartoonish. Of course it doesn't fit in with blood and explosions and livers flying everywhere.
No, of course not. It's absolutely no fun at all.
Listen, games aren't about fun, okay? They're about realism and grit and brown.
And robots.
And Greg.
Can you throw visceral in there somewhere?
And epic. And the
well,
other
now you're
thing.
Just naming game studios.
And the other thing is that it's slated for March of next year, which, as we know, is fairly crowded to begin with, and now this game doesn't stand out at all.
No, and sadly. I also realized that this game kind of is if it really comes out in March on the exact same marketing timeline as Syndicate was for EA.
Oh, yeah.
And that went well. So
they're basically sending it to its grave.
Kind of. I mean, EA is even releasing some of their own games in March.
Yeah, I feel like Crysis 3 is targeted for around there, because I know Dead Space 3 is early next year.
Dead Space is also March, if I'm not mistaken. And so is Army of Two free.
Wait, really?
Wait, that didn't make any sense, because those are all EA games, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, you would think, okay, January, February, March, boom, three of them. Not this whole, let's just put all of our co-op shooters in March. That's what people want.
Yeah.
And that's just EA. That's not counting about the rest of the industry, you know, BioShock.
Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider, God of War, Last of Us, Beyond. There's a ton of crap coming out next year in the first 3 months. So this game doesn't stand out. It's a...
But to be fair, all those games are good.
Yeah, Gears of War is actually in the next. It's set up.
So if you're sitting around thinking, like, I just want to play a really shitty game, then that'll be, like, your go-to game, because everything else
is actually
pretty decent.
It could still be a good game, but the thing is, if it doesn't stand out, it's going to be like, oh, okay, it's another third-person shooter, which I have Army of Two for, looks like that. I have Dead Space, which
Or I could play the next Gears of War.
Gears of War
is coming out in March, too?
I don't know if it's coming out in March. I think we might see that today, depending on how far back the Xbox... the next Xbox comes out.
Yeah, I feel like it will probably get delayed to the fall, sort of like what 3 did to give them a fall tentpole release.
Yeah. Because I think word is that they might delay the next Xbox because they're having some problems with production right now, but we don't know for sure. But yeah, right now, Gears of War Judgment is slated for March, which is... So right now, its competition is Gears of War, which is a multi-million dollar franchise. Army of Two, which for some reason they continue to make and continue to sell. Dead Space, which is now adding co-op to its campaign. And Fuse, which is a brand new IP that looks very generic with no name brand and a company that doesn't have the backing of Sony.
Yeah, sounds really promising.
It sounds like it has a ton of potential. So
what could possibly go wrong?
I will see you for $20 in April, Fuse.
Oh, we are so mean. And I love Insomniac. I always loved them.
And that's just, they know how to make good games. They have a great sense of humor. I enjoyed the Ratchet & Clank series.
Exactly. Ratchet & Clank is my favorite of them.
And
you realize what their strengths are. Weird weapons... really funny stuff, and that's exactly not what they are doing with this game.
For a group called Insomniac, they sure fell asleep at the wheel on this one.
I feel part of it is also that EA, in EA's partner game, EA's probably like, we can't market this. I mean, granted, known EA partner games, they won't market this anyhow.
Yeah, that's what I meant with they're in the exact same spot as Syndicate.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's in the EA Partners line?
Yeah.
Syndicate wasn't...
Oh, it's dead.
Syndicate wasn't even in a Partners game. Kingdoms of Amalur was, though. And that didn't get any marketing either.
Yeah, and Shadows of the Damned was in there, too, and they just sort of dropped that there, and...
Yeah, and again...
That was disappointing.
And again,
that game was pretty good.
They had two other co-op shooters that month, so they're going to be busy elsewhere.
Yeah.
Nice knowing you, Overstrike. I hope you return one day. Maybe Nintendo can buy the old IP. this is a tiny update. It's really weird because I don't know why they're doing it, but Sony dropped the street date for Little Big Planet Vita. So you could buy it last Friday, or I guess this past Friday. And as Gran Turismo 5 taught us, that playing with release dates is always fun because it doesn't affect you at any way. The fact is that putting a game up for sale without any marketing and just saying here it is isn't the best way to showcase you have confidence in this game.
No, that only works with consoles.
What?
I don't. The only console I know that was released, like, here you go, was the Sega Saturn. And that didn't do anything at all.
Well, the Dreamcast kind of was too, wasn't it?
Dreamcast was announced further back from.
Was it? Oh, I thought it was the. Oh, I got the Dreamcast and the Saturn confused.
Yeah, the Saturn was like...
Which one was the one where they're like, oh, you can go buy it now?
That Saturn just showed up in stores.
Yeah. And that worked out so well for Sega. But no,
true. Imagine all the Sonic games we'd have right now if the Saturn hadn't flopped.
Yeah, because, I mean, they have already showed down in the amount of Sonic games they produce. But yeah, I just don't think it's the best idea to just kind of throw, especially being that this is supposed to be a marquee Vita title. It's one of the first major Sony titles since May for the system, and it just kind of thrown it out there. I'm sure it's going to get marketed when its official release date comes, which is a week and a half from now, I believe. But it just seems so weird for him to say, whatever, sell it.
Yeah, but it seems especially weird coming off their Gamescom stuff with trying to push the Vita, that they just sort of have this indifference towards. It makes you really confused how much they're actually interested in selling this thing.
And how much they think they can actually sell it. Well, my fantasy teams are getting beat up this week. Yeah, but what can you do? It's Sony, it's the Vita. And finally, Valve's Big Picture Mode, which I believe is actually from a week ago, but we didn't cover it last week, so we might as well talk about it now. Thoughts?
I have not tried it out, but I think it's a great idea. We are in a phase where the PC version of multi-platform games look way better. And a lot of people are probably tempted to just play them on the PC, hook this PC up to their big TV, and now they can basically control their whole Steam library, the store, and so on, just with a gamepad, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, from
what I've seen, it's basically, I guess, just Steam, but optimized for like use on a TV screen.
Yep, and gamepad.
Alright.
I think this is a great idea. I really think this is going to hurt Microsoft and Sony. If you can just kind of, like, I can buy a game on Steam, which tends to be cheaper, and I can play it on my TV with one of your controllers without much hassle.
Yeah.
And you can kind of upgrade your PC as you go along, and it will improve the game.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's going to be an interesting, especially with these consoles showing down, it's going to be an interesting year to see how this, you know, I mean, granted, yes, it's mostly for hardcore PC gamers and stuff like that. A lot of people are still kind of afraid of PC gaming because it's too much effort. Your PC is always out of date. You have to keep up. There's too many, you know, there's a lot of problems with PC gaming for a non-hardcore PC gaming or whatever. So, yeah.
I think this is more a sign of things that might come in the future. We have all those rumors of them building hardware and Gabe Newell's comments about Windows 8. It seems to suggest that they might be wanting to move, expanding into other things. I don't think, you know, maybe not necessarily a console, but I think maybe a Valve operating system wouldn't be out of the picture.
I think a Valve operating system may be pushing it.
Well, I don't know. They said they're going to be having non-game
applications
available to Steam, so...
Yeah, maybe next thing you know, you're going to get a Steam phone, and you're going to get, like, a Steam box.
You can already build your own Steam machine. Just put Big Picture Mode on, Steam launch on startup, and you basically have your Steam machine.
I'm kind of curious to see if we get a third party, or maybe even Valve themselves, but I wonder if we're going to get a third party who makes, like, a Steam box. Like, you know, something...
I actually expect that. Like, could Valve see them team up with a hardware manufacturer?
Yeah, just to maybe make, like, a mid-level PC dedicated built for that at a reasonable price. I can see that as a very distinct possibility.
I could imagine, like, even cheaper, like, maybe something like for $50 where you just... It's kind of something that carries the signal from your PC without having to connect a bunch of wires.
Oh, you mean like a delivery system from a PC, which is maybe in your office to your living room?
Yeah, because, I mean, I think that, and it gives a lot of people the idea that, you know, like, I can just kind of set this up and it will run on my TV without all this fuss. Maybe get, like, a Steam controller or, you know, like, a custom-made DualShock. Because, you know, you don't want to mess around with, like, USB settings and that other stuff. Mm. Because, again, it's a barrier between the consumer and the games, because not everybody knows how to set up an Xbox 360 or a PS3 controller to work with their PC.
Hmm. Yep.
So, yeah. Can you
do it with a PS3 controller now? I remember last time I tried, it was a tremendous pain in the ass.
I got a PS3 controller to work on the Windows.
I think they've improved. Do you use Motion Joy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's what I used, like,
yeah,
that was 2 years ago last time I tried, so...
Yeah, that was a pain in the ass to really try to set up for me as well.
And if you use a Mac, it's even easier because it gets just recognized, which is kind of nice.
Oh, it sounds better than my Bluetooth headset on the PS3, because that's what I have to. But I think that's everything. Oh, wait, Martin wanted to talk about some company not making Alpha Protocol 2. Do you want to talk about this Obsidian Kickstarter?
Well, you're such a troll.
Alpha Protocol is awesome.
I don't think so.
Who's showing who here?
Obsidian. Obsidian is doing a Kickstarter.
Now for Alpha Protocol 2.
And we got a lot of guys who worked on games like Planescape Torment, which is an important thing to mention here, Earl.
And the first two Fallouts.
And the first two Fallouts.
And
of course. But Planescape Torment is probably one of the best RPGs ever made. Especially the best written one, and the guy who's responsible for that is also writing this new title, and it's going to be an isometric party-based RPG. With 2D backgrounds, that's already been confirmed. They wanted 1.1 million, and they already got that in less than 28 hours, likely under 28 hours, which is impressive.
Yeah.
And now they also added a lot of stretch goals, like adding new characters, new regions, Mac support, Linux support. And at this point, it looks like they might even make all those stretch goals, at least if this Kickstarter continues at this pace. Also, it's still worth mentioning, because if you want the game for cheap, it's probably best to just support the Kickstarter. At the moment, I think there's still slots left for getting the game for $20.
25 now.
Just 25 now? The $20 tier is gone?
Yeah, $20 one's gone. It's now just
okay.
It's now 25.
25 is probably still way cheaper when this game is going to cost once it's out. It sounds like it's pretty ambitious, so I would assume it's probably going to be $40 once it's out, I would assume. So yeah. So support a good cause, and maybe help Obsidian not die.
force them to make Alpha Protocol 2. Woo! Default. That was also
the problem with Alpha Protocol is that the IP is owned by Sega.
I was about to say, that's owned by Sega. Maybe I should ask Nintendo.
So
I'm confused here. Are Alpha you, Protocol like, not ironically review? Supporting Alpha Protocol?
I have Alpha Protocol.
You are Alpha Protocol?
I seem to be in the minority when it comes to Alpha Protocol, but I'm a huge fan of it, yes.
Wow. I like the idea of Alpha Protocol. I didn't like Alpha Protocol.
I think, I mean, from what I understand, it also helps that I probably played it after the game was patched. Because I heard there was a lot of technical errors with it at launch, but I enjoyed it. I think I also agree with you, it has a lot of great ideas. I don't necessarily think that everything is executed well, but for what it is, it was a phenomenal game, and I enjoyed its decision-making concept a lot more than the Mass Effect franchise, for example.
Mm. And the thing is, I think Obsidian will do pretty well on their own. I think a lot of their projects lately have suffered because of the publisher they've been with.
That happened.
Or Bethesda having to work on like very tight schedules, basically on IPs they don't own themselves, or using engines which are just awful. Like, game style. So, yeah. I think on their own, they will probably do way better.
Yeah. Has any Kickstarter project finished yet, as far as video games go?
I played FTL.
You played what?
FTL.
Oh.
The game is called FTL. It's by an indie developer, Faster Than Light. It's the name of the game. It came out on Friday. It's a space roguelike.
What?
You have a crew of three guys. You have your own spaceship. You can let them man like different parts, like weapons, engines, stuff like that. You have to discover different systems. You are chased by rebels you have to flee from. You can upgrade your ship, get new crew members, stuff like that. It's really good.
Is it, like, properly unforgiving?
There are two difficult levels. So, if you want to be unforgiving, you can have it that way. At the moment, I've just been playing on easy, but I wasn't able to finish it at all. Which is also funny, because the game is actually finishable. It apparently has an end boss. But I didn't want to spoil myself. And it looks like it's also pretty nice that you can unlock different ship classes if you reach specific goals during your gameplay. So it seems like it does not just have the random factor like other roguelikes to enhance your playtime, but also adds variety by adding new ships and technology stuff. It's up on Steam. You can also get it from the developer's website, which I think is cheaper. I think it's $10 on Steam and $9 on the website. You also get a Steam key on the website, but also a DRM-free version, so you can play it however you like. Oh, and Windows, Mac, and Linux.
So they don't hang out with Ubisoft.
What?
The DRM joke, never mind.
Some people apparently don't like Steam.
Some people don't like Steam. EA, for example, doesn't like Steam at all.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry here. But I think that's it for us this week. I mean, I honestly don't think there's anything else we can talk about.
This forum beta's out. So if one of you can get me a key and send it into the website so I can play it, you should do that.
Okay.
This is called crowdsourcing. Get your shit together, internet. Give me what I want.
If
you get a Heart of a Swarm key before Shed gets one, I will laugh in his face and make fun of him.
I should get one and not use it at all.
Yeah, I should not use it at all. Or play and stream it just to him.
And the sad thing is, he'd
bastards,
probably watch
bastards
it.
Bastards, all of you. Oh yeah, I'm watching all the hot streams right now.
So yes, aside from that, you can find us on iTunes, leave us reviews, comments, thoughts, wishes, questions, all that fun jazz. Links are usually included in the show notes. You can find us on Twitter, Formspring, Facebook, and all that good stuff. For Anthony, who had to step out, James for joining us this week.
Yep.
Martin, Chad, and myself, this has been Dual Wielding episode 82.